You will this morning turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 4. And our text this morning will be found in 4, 7, and 10. It's Matthew 4, verses 4, 7, and 10. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how faithful and holy and just thou art. Lord, we come today as a broken people, as those with many concerns in our minds and hearts and many, many temptations that befall us this day, many snares being laid by the wicked one. Father, I pray today and in this hour you'd be pleased to tell him to get hence, to tell the wicked one to flee. Bring our minds and our hearts captive before thee, that you would be pleased to open thy word to our souls. You would be pleased to shine forth the light of thy Son in our souls. And Lord, most of all, that you, your name would be high and lifted up. You would receive all glory and honor and praise that is due unto thee. For truly, Lord, thou art worthy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It is indeed a great mercy. It is a great mercy to have the Word of God to fight our foes. These three texts that I read this morning, you will see in all three of them, it is written. The Lord quoting Scripture. To have such a great weapon of it is written by the hand of God. That's our question first and foremost. Do we believe the Scriptures are the inspired Word of God and they are the truth in our life? And that the Word, the big W, the Lord Jesus Christ, that these Scriptures speak of Him and they testify of Him. And that now, in this life, that as we live each day, that He has sent the Comforter, He has sent the Holy Spirit, to take the things of Christ out of these words, out of this blessed book that it is written of, and to speak and to comfort His children for instruction, for reproof, for doctrine, for everything that we have need of in this life and the life to come. As I said, it is a great mercy, because as you see in the passage today, or you will see, the adversary is a mighty one. The adversary, if fought in our own, with our own mind and our own doings and our own weapons, which are carnal, by the way, are weapons, we would lose. But the weapons for the child of God, as we see this morning, are not carnal. They're spiritual and they're mighty, because the Lord wields them. And His power is what's needed to silence this voice. This voice of torment. This voice of an alternative logic. This voice that tells us something contrary to the Scriptures. I want you to understand today that if these Scriptures are true, and that first has to be settled, if they are true, Jesus said something of the wicked one in John 8:44. He said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." That is a powerful truth. It's a powerful truth that we need to have revealed to us every day. That the voice that's contrary to the shepherd's voice is a lying voice. It's a voice that lies to us every day. It's a voice that tries to entice us every day to walk out of the way. The temptations that we have in this life, and we're going to see how Christ was tempted this morning, but the temptations that we have in this life, they're all common to all men. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. That is the message today, that this Lord, this God, is faithful. When that voice comes, there is only one who can shut that voice. There's only one that can answer that voice. There is not, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. The temptations are designed in our soul, in our mind, to try us. As the refiner tries the gold to find and remove the impurities. When we are led away, as James tells us, of our own sin and our own temptations, the Lord reveals to us what's in us. And, most importantly, that He is triumphant over that which is in us. That He is life and victory over those temptations. He has made a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. He has also made a way to escape. That way is on display for us today in the red words, the text that I read to you. The way is the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot escape the accusations of Satan without Christ. You cannot. He will point the finger to you and said, this is what you've done against God. And you cannot stand today and say, I'm innocent. Because what he accuses us of many times is true. But many times it's not either. See, we're going to talk about that. Why didn't these temptations work on Christ, and why do they work on us? But the Lord tells us something while He was in the garden. He said in Matthew 26:41, He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we have this part in us that's very weak. It's the weakness of our body, the weakness of our flesh, but we also have a fallen part of us that wants to listen to Satan, that wants the things of this world, that wants to run after this world, because that part of us believes that that's all there is. And that's all that we should care about. It's interesting to me when Jesus said those words, immediately after that, we find His disciples went to sleep. They were asleep before, they were asleep after. Because there's weakness in us. And we need a power that's greater than anything that we have in ourselves. And it's this power that we see and hear and read of today, the Lord Jesus Christ. When He answers the accuser, He answers it in the answers him in the purity of the Word. You're going to see that this morning. That even the devil can come and use the Word of God, but not in its rightful way, but to spin it, to alter it, to make it seem palatable for us that, oh, well, that's what the Bible says. I said, this enemy is very worthy and so much more powerful than we are. So much more that we have to have an advocate. We must have one to fight for us. We must have one come to deliver us from this enemy. So let's go right into chapter 4, and we start with one word, then. And that seems to be the key this morning, the word then. Because it takes us right back up. We have to go what just happened. And in 16 of the prior verse in Matthew 3, we see Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God. He saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and lighting upon him. This was the beginning of Christ's ministry, and now he is fully endued with all power from on high. The fullness of the Spirit. Because Christ didn't have sin in him. Christ could receive the fullness of the Spirit. In fact, he tells us that in John 3:34, he says, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." So in order for the Lord to go forth in his ministry, he was given the fullness of the Spirit. And don't miss that. Because we need the fullness of the Spirit. And the fullness of the Spirit is in Christ. And the fullness of the Spirit is what Christ in us is. That's where victory is. That's where the putting down of Satan is. That is where the ability is to say, "No, get hence." Because he is all truth. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We have the testimony of the Father that this is his Son. He now has the fullness of the Spirit bestowed upon him to begin his earthly ministry. And he says, "I'm well pleased in him." And then don't miss this. Then immediately, the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, led Jesus into the wilderness. The wilderness. What's in the wilderness? Nothing. He led Jesus away to be alone. You and I, in the greatest moments of temptation, are alone. He led Jesus away into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And that's when the devil comes, is when he sees that the Lord has done something and performed his work in his children. That's when he comes to seize it. That's when he comes to spread doubt. That's when he comes to say, "This isn't true." And if we're not kept, and if we don't have the mind of Christ, we will succumb to those temptations. Then, after Jesus was empowered from on high, he was then led up of the Spirit. You see that? Do you see what it takes to withstand the devil? Do you see why it's important that we have the advocate? That being in Christ, we have the victory because we're in Christ. As Christ put off the devil this day, we put him off because of Christ. Because of him. He is our power. He has the Spirit without measure given unto him. And then Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. That's a long time. See, Jesus was the God-man that we talk about many times, so that means he was 100% man too. So if you and I ever fasted 40 days and 40 nights, which I'm thinking of myself, I don't know if that's possible, but if I did, I think I'd be hungry after that time. I know I would be. if I was still alive. So Jesus was hungry. Well, see, there's the first opportunity. The devil looks and he says, okay, here's your physical impairment. Here's something that I can come into. You have a problem. You have a need. I can feel that need. You're hurting. You're physically hurting. Let me come and heal you my way. Here's his way. And when the tempter came, in verse 3, when the tempter came to him, he said, if. Does he come to you any other way? Does he come to you in any other way? Isn't the accuser always accusing? He came to the Son of God and said, if you be the Son of God. See, what he thought he had was Jesus in his domain. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's fighting Jesus on his turf, so he thought. The tempter came to him and he said, if you be the Son of God. And we know that all of these temptations came to Jesus. We're told in Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's the difference. You say, well, you know, but that's because there was nothing in him. That's right. But there's sin in me, so I'm going to sin in those temptations. That's right. But don't you want to know? Don't you find great comfort and peace that the one who is fighting for you, the one who does fight for you, has no sin and cannot sin while we're being tempted? He was tempted like in all points, tempted like as we are. This is a physical ailment that Jesus has. He's hungry. It's been a long time since he's had food. This enemy preys on that and says, hey, come over here now. Hey, let me tell you, if you're the Son of God, here's all you got to do. If you're the Son of God, command that these stones that are next to us be made bread. And that's not unreasonable to ask for the Son of God, is it? If he's the Son of God, he should be able to turn stones into bread. He should be able to provide for himself. But I want to tell you something. Jesus never did anything outside of his Father's will. Never. And that's the whole purpose that Satan, the underlying theme for the devil is, follow me. I want to be worshipped. And he thinks that because Jesus now has a physical weakness, and because you and I have physical weaknesses, that's the time to come. And it is. It's a very opportune time. It was for Esau. Esau was hungry. But Esau wasn't a child of God. And Esau wasn't kept. And Esau sold everything he had for food. And then repented of himself. But there's no repentance for Esau. But we're talking about the Lord now and his people being in him and what we have in him. And what answer we have in him. Oh, if you're the Son of God, command these. Command that these stones be made bread. That accuser continues to come and accuse over and over. We have that for us in Zechariah 3. That Joshua the high priest was standing there and he had the devil accusing him on one side. Just kept accusing him, accusing. We're accused before God and before man and before ourselves every day. This is what you've done wrong. This is how you can rectify. This is how you've messed up. This is how you can fix it. That's the words of the wicked one. When the tempter came, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But Jesus is victorious, right? He's cast down the accuser, right? Yes. That's what Revelation 12:10 tells us. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." That's what He does. And our victory is in the power of His Christ. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus turned to him and He answered him and He said, "It is written." And He answered him by the word. And He answered him with, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8:3, which says this, "And He humbled thee, and He suffered thee to hunger, and He fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." So as the first temptation that Satan gives Christ in the physical affliction that Christ has, the physical temptation that He has, the answer given to Christ is physical. "Make these stones bread, eat this bread, and you'll live and be just fine." But Jesus' answer to him is there's more in this life for the child of God in the life to come than the physical things in this world. Jesus is that bread that came down from heaven. He is that manna that feeds His people. But He's more than just sustenance in this life. He's sustenance to our soul. Not only does He feed the body, but He feeds the soul. But that's not where the temptation came. The temptation came to rectify the temptation with a physical answer. And every time we go to answer the devil that way with a physical response to him, "Well, I'll do this. I'll perform this. I'll be this way." It's not going to be blessed because it's not born from above. It's not the Lord's way to defeat the wicked one. See, we like to submit. We like to compromise. We like to do things like that just to make problems go away. But we can't live by bread alone. We must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of our Savior and the mouth of our Lord. And the Holy Spirit is sufficient to show us that word. He takes the things of Christ every day of our life and He reveals them to our soul. This is the way to go. This is what pleases the Lord. This is what glorifies Christ. This is what Christ would have you to do. It's a big difference than just feeding yourself with the physical things of this world and thinking the problem's going to go away. Jesus is the Word, isn't He? Isn't that what John 1:1 tells us? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So when Jesus says, "But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God," He is the Word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He is the Word that was made flesh to save His people from their sins. He is the Word that is our mighty sword against Apollyon. Jesus, as I said earlier, these temptations didn't seem to work well with him. John 14:30, he said, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me." See, he kept coming. He kept coming. You're going to see that today. He's relentless. He keeps coming. He keeps coming. But there's nothing in Jesus that would sway Jesus to his side. But you and I, there is. The flesh is weak. The old nature is corrupt. The old nature is fallen. Do you need one to fight for you? Do you need Christ to be exercised in your life? Do you need Christ to take over your life to defeat this wicked one? I do. I do right now. But as I said, he's relentless. Our answer, as I've said, is Jesus speaking to us. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the one who said, "I will lead my sheep, and they will hear my voice, and they'll follow me." But Paul wrote in Hebrews 1:1-2, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but he hath in these last days, he has spoken unto us by his Son." See, those words are firm. Those words are true. They're faithful words. He speaks to us through his Son. He speaks to his children through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. That's who he swears by. That's who he speaks through, his Son. That's what you and I have in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what we have to defeat this enemy. And the enemy knows that. And yet he comes back in verse 5, "Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and he setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, If thou be the Son of God." Again, if. There's that accusatory word again. Oh, if you're the Son of God, "cast yourself down, for it is written." Whoa! He said, "for it is written." He's quoting Scripture. He says, "for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." He tempts Jesus with what we call today, and we term in society, suicide. He tempts Jesus with, "take your own life," because we don't, life doesn't matter as long as you worship me. That's the temptation that comes. You and I, life gets hard, real hard. And the tempter comes and says, "why even live it?" And he makes life so flippant, and he makes it look to us like it's nothing if you just close your eyes, if you just throw yourself down. And he thinks he quoted Scripture. We're going to go to Psalm 91 in a minute. And I want you to hear it in its entirety. And I want to know what it testifies to you today. If that's what Jesus, if that's what the devil said is what is meant in those words. Go test God. Go do whatever you want to do. Live whatever way you want to live. Let's just turn over there now. Turn with me to Psalm 91. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's only 16 verses. But I thought about carving out just that part. But I hope the Holy Spirit shows you the tenor of what's being said here by the psalmist. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." You know what that is? That's one who's kept. That's one who sees his Lord as life. Life! I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. This is life in Christ. This is life being kept in Him. This is the hope of Christ. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. You hear what's being said? Live! Christ is life. We have life in Christ. There's nothing in here about death. There's nothing in here about tempting God with looking at death and life as something so minimal. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. It's protection. That's preservation of the saints. That's the preservation of life, not the taking of it. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. He's wanting Christ to follow Him and tells Him to do something according to the Word that goes against what God meant in His Word. That we are preserved in Christ. Preserved from death. But He twisted the Scripture. And He made it fit His own cause. Be careful. Be careful. That's how wicked this enemy is. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. Deliverance! I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So we see the wicked one when he comes, and he uses the very words if and accusing. Then he comes with Scripture, so he thinks. And you and I won't be any different in the old nasty nature of this flesh that we have. We'll use Scripture to justify our sin. We'll use logic. We'll use whatever it takes to justify sin. That's the power of Christ as the answer. It is written again, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." It is written in the Word, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." We are not, no matter what religion tells you, we are not to sit and tell God, "Oh, if you do this, I'll do that." A cause and effect religion, where it starts with us. We'll follow you if you do this for us. That religion has left so many in its wake dead, and fill in the very gates of hell this day with man-centered, creature-centered, follow the wicked one religion. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Why do we want, or would we want to tempt the one who has given us all things and His Son, who has sent His Son to die for us, who has sent His Son to take away our sins, who has sent His Son to be our life? Why are we tempting? Because as we've already said, there's nothing in our Lord for the devil to get aground here with, but there is something in us. Lord, save us. That's what salvation is. Saving from this wicked nature that lies within. Saving from the devil's voice. Saving from the world's pull. Second Timothy 1:10, Paul writes, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Not death. He's brought life and immortality. He has brought life by His resurrection life. He has brought life for His people. This is the life we have in Christ. But that answer wasn't enough either, because the old wicked one comes back again, just as relentless as ever. Our Lord said in Revelation 1:18, "I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore." Amen. And He has the keys of hell and of death. He has the keys of hell and death. He is life. Not what the wicked one says. The liar from the beginning. He cannot tell the truth. Your truth must be exercised in "Thus saith the Lord." It has to be found here. That's what He's left us. He's left it, the evidence of His Son, in here. And He's given it through His Son. To speak it to His children, to speak it to His sheep, then His sheep will follow Him. And as I said, there's one more. "Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world." He said, "Oh, how could he do that? He's the prince of the power of the air." Showed him all the riches. Showed him everything this world has to offer. All the kingdoms. All those beautiful places we like to go and see. But remember, he's a liar. Because what's really ironic in this is he's showing him what he already has. Christ has been given everything. We just read that. He's the Lord over all creation. He's the Lord over all things. But he says, and he tries to usurp him, and he says, "He took him to a high mountain, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship him." Me. Worship me. I'll give you all these things. And he sits and he denies the sovereignty of God. And you and I, when we raise our ugly heads and we go after this world and we go after the things in this world, we deny the sovereignty of God. We deny the sovereignty of "it is finished." Deny the sovereignty that he said that we'll never want anything. We deny it. And we follow the words of the wicked one here. It says, "Oh, this is ours to give. This is ours to receive. This is ours to chase after." No, it's not. It's not yours. Then Jesus said to him, our last part of our text, and this is the only way that we can make the enemy go away. Christ in us saying, "Get thee hence." Christ fighting that battle for us and saying, "Get hence, Satan. You're not coming back here again. Not this season. Get hence. Go away. For it is written." Once again, not going away from the Word of God. "For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." So, how shalt thou serve? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord. You cannot serve two. You cannot serve God and man. You cannot. It's physically impossible. Spiritually impossible. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. In the singleness of heart, with Christ reigning in our soul, with the light of Christ in our soul, that's the only way peace comes. Because that's what He was manifest for. That's what John tells us in 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. That's how He's manifested in your soul, to destroy the works of the devil. He must be manifested. He must increase. We must decrease. That's His work. When you find yourself increasing, and yourself is the middle of your arguments, and yourself in what you've done, somebody else is increasing. You and the wicked one. But when the Lord speaks, when the Lord is manifested, the works of the devil are put down. They're destroyed. In closing today, go with me over to Hebrews 2 real quick. Begin in verse 14. Listen to these words as I read it. 14 to 18. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same. We saw that today. That through death, the laying down of His life, He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. See, that power of death, everything that motivates the devil is according to death. In light of death. In seeing things in the light of death. Death, death. Christ is life. The devil is death. And deliver them. There's our deliverer. Who through fear of death. You got fear of death? I do. He's the deliverer. Who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He delivers from the bondage of that fear of death, the bondage of sin, the bondage of what we deserve. He's the deliverer. He said, I've paid that debt. I've nailed that to the tree. My blood has covered it. You have my robe put upon you of my righteousness. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels. He didn't come to save angels. But He took on Him the seed of Abraham. He came to save His people from their sins. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him. It prospered Him. It was according to His will to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful. Do you need more than mercy and faith? Because it's in Him. That's what He is to us. Mercy and faith. That He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of His people. He's made payment. He has taken your hand and joined it to the Father's hand, and He did it by Himself in His righteousness and His perfect obedience. In His work, in His blood, cleansing blood. He's made reconciliation. He's wiped the debt away. He said, you are paid in full. You're paid in Me. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, as we saw today. He suffered that. He suffered the wicked one to come. Who was? Think of that now, those temptations that came. He's the Lord of life. He's the Lord of all sustenance. He's the Lord of everything that we have. And He was tempted by Satan, who told Him that He had the power over all those things. Whew. Wow. You know what it's like to be tempted when you have a power to crush your enemy? I don't know that too much, but what long suffering. What long suffering for us. He suffered being tempted. So he is able to succor them that are tempted. It's the whole crux to today. We have this great high priest, and we have a way open. He is that way to the Father. We have the way open of forgiveness because he is that forgiveness. We have the way in Christ over all these temptations. Back to our text to end. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. When the Lord said, Get away, he left. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. We love those ministering angels. We love those ministering spirits. May the Lord be pleased now in this hour and the hours that come to send those ministering spirits. The battles with the devil, they leave scars. They're horrible. But their only victory is in Christ. And it's enough. He's enough. He's enough to answer every one of them and give so much more abundance than the devil could ever offer. That's just another lie of his. May the Lord be the truth in your soul in this day and every day following for the glory and praise of him. Dear Heavenly Father, have thy power, thy clarity for thy name's sake. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.